It's not news to anyone that things have been tough for renters for a while. Sites like Airbnb mean less rental properties are on the market. Rent prices are rising and suburbs which were once affordable are now not. I'm looking at you, Newtown and Marrickville. And if you're struggling to find somewhere to live or to be comfortable and safe in your home, you're not alone. Now, Joe Dignam is the founder of an organisation called Better Renting, which is based in Canberra but is an Australian-wide movement for renters fighting for stable, affordable and livable homes. Welcome to Breakfast, Joel.
A pleasure to be with you.
Now, I guess there's two stages to the challenge facing renters. There's getting the rental property and then making sure that it's livable. Let's start with applying for rental properties. What is a bond guarantee and how is it changing how people can access rental properties?
So with a bond guarantee, instead of lodging a bond, the agent can ask a renter to pay a third party, which sort of acts like an insurer, but not quite, to provide a guarantee. And that third party says to the landlord, if there are any issues, we will pay you out up to the amount of the bond as you're entitled, and then we'll actually recover that money from the renter. So they're effectively this sort of mafia-esque entity that says to the landlord, you'll definitely get the money and we'll make sure that we get it from the renter and you don't need to worry about that side of things. But what happens is they charge a fee for that, of course, and that fee is actually paid for by the renter.
What are some of the problems that can come out of a bond guarantee?
So I think the first thing to understand is that it is more expensive than a bond because a bond is a deposit. If there's no issues, you can actually get that money back. You might be without it for a while and it can be hard to come up with the cash, but you're going to get it fully back. Whereas with the bond guarantee, you're paying an annual fee. So particularly if you're staying somewhere for a while, you're actually losing quite a bit more money. And because it's not insurance, it's not a premium, if there is a bond claim at the end of the lease, you're still liable for that. So it's not really reducing your vulnerability.
It's not actually, and it sounds like too, if there is something that needs to be fixed at the end of your lease, you're definitely out of pocket.
Absolutely, yes. So it's potentially you're getting hit twice if it works out like that. And the second issue, of course, is that this is effectively something for the landlord. It's effectively a form of landlord insurance, and yet the renter's being made to pay for it. And because it is competitive out there, it can be really hard for renters to decline an option like that when, you know, they're competing with other renters to get a place.
Right. And what about the rent bidding apps? Is that something we're starting to see in Australia?
So I guess we already see rent bidding in Australia informally, where renters will knowingly offer more than the asking price, hoping that that will make it more likely they can get the place. And I think it's unfortunate that, you know, it comes to that, but people are pretty desperate to get a roof over their heads. But what we're seeing is apps now coming to the market that are already in other markets overseas that actually aim to pour fuel on the fire of rent bidding by having sort of advertising the process, making it more like eBay. So you see what other people are offering. It's really pushing renters to increase their offers to try to get a place.
Are these apps legal?
So it's pretty ambiguous across consumer law. It depends a bit on the jurisdiction. Normally, landlords are not meant to, or agents are not meant to solicit bids above the advertising price. As part of consumer law, it's pretty established. If you put a price on a product, that's the price for what it is. So even the practice of advertising a range for rental properties is pretty questionable. And anything that is inviting people to offer more hasn't been strongly tested from what I understand, but it's not really what consumer law would allow.
Well, let's move on to tenants who've managed to find somewhere to live. What are some of the livability issues that you've seen arise?
So there's a lot of livability issues. And one of the challenges we see is that in a competitive rental market, people are often taking properties as is. And landlords are putting some pretty questionable properties on the market, not bothering to fix them up because they know that they're going to be able to get someone to live there anyway. And when people move in, they feel they can't ask for repairs because they don't want to get a reputation for being a nuisance and potentially face eviction maybe just 12 months later. So we see issues like properties that are just structurally bad. They're much more likely rental properties to have structural faults or plumbing issues or damage than others. And one big issue that we're interested in too is the energy efficiency of these properties. Typically rental properties, they're much less likely to have insulation or to have properly sealed windows. The renters who are already paying more for the housing also end up paying more on their energy bills just to stay warm.
Now, myself, like all renters, have seen some pretty dodgy places in Sydney as you go around. How legal is it? How legal is it for a real estate agent to have an open house? You go into a place, it's got mold on the walls, the kitchen is a mess, the bathroom's got tiles missing. Is it legal to put that up for rent?
Unfortunately, it largely is. And Australia doesn't really have a decent minimum standards for rental properties. The requirement is typically that the property must be fit for human habitation. So, you know, if the roof is falling in, probably it's not legal to put that up for rent. But there isn't really a requirement that it's sort of in good condition by any means. And stuff like you describe, mould on the walls, you know, tiles missing, is pretty common out there in the rental space.
What about winter? What challenges does that bring to for renters?
So winter is obviously where the impact of cold weather is worse for renters. And this is quite surprising in Australia, but in fact, more people in Australia die from cold-related issues than from hot-related issues. Because what we see in winter is that although we don't really have cold waves like we have heat waves, you have a long period of weather that is effectively too cold for people to be healthy. And if you're living in an uninsulated property, often you're less likely to have heating or efficient heating. What this means is that particularly people who might have a disability or be older or children, you're much more vulnerable to that, particularly if you can't afford energy bills. People are voluntarily not using heating sometimes. And this is, yeah, it's harming people's health. And even if it's not harming their health, it does mean much higher energy bills trying to stay warm.
Now, look, you're looking for people to share their renting experiences. How can people get in touch?
So we have a website at betterrenting.org.au. And we're also on Facebook, again, Better Renting or Better Renting Australia. And what we are really wanting to do is be hearing renters' stories, because we think that renters are often not heard in this conversation. With things like these bond guarantees and rent bidding apps, they're talking directly to the government, and renters are effectively just not being heeded at all. So the more stories we can get out there, the more we can tell this story of what's going on for renters and help to build the power that will force the systems to change.
Well, Joel, thanks for joining us on Breakfast, and best of luck.
A pleasure. Thanks, Anthony.
That was Joel Dingham, the founder of Better Renting, an organisation based in Canberra that is building a movement of renters Australian-wide. More information about Better Renting will be on our website, 2scr.com.